there's a word called frenemy, you know, like your friend enemy or enemy friend. And I absolutely love the man, and we fight like cats and dogs. But I think he's one of the most remarkable guys I've ever met. And we talked about so many different things. So I said, Sheikh, I said, why don't we get some fruit, get something to eat? Dane says, I can't eat in the morning. I said, why? Go ahead.
Because I can't eat in the morning while I'm listening to Peter. You know, I won't keep it down.
You get up at 5, you say.
I get up at 5 every morning.
And then you get beat on.
I listen to you, and some days you're beating on me, and I can't possibly eat while I'm listening to that.
We were talking because all the stuff about sequester. I think Barack Obama really looks bad right now.
I do, too. I think throughout this budget thing, the PR has favored him. They've done a great job of painting the Republicans in a bad light. I think it's turned. I think the president has not done himself any favors on this one. He's basically preached about all the horrible things that are going to happen when you cut 2% out of the budget. And then in the last couple of days, when it's become obvious the sequester is going to happen,
yeah. He's
been saying, well, you may not notice it
for
a while.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it, unfortunately, both the Democrats and the Republicans in Washington, they're acting like a bunch of petulant kids. I mean, they're just the bottom line is that the budget's in such out of control. You're going to have to raise some more revenue, and you're going to have to cut cost on entitlements.
Yeah.
And entitlements are 2/3 of the budget, and you just simply are going to have to deal with entitlements. And for the president and the Democrats to say we're not going to touch entitlements is baloney. We're going to touch entitlements or we're going to go broke. And for the Republicans to say we're not going to put any more taxes on the table is ridiculous. You're going to have to put some more taxes on the table. And it's unfortunate that they can't come together and do it. But Republicans aren't going to put taxes on the table till he deals with entitlements. And he doesn't want to deal with entitlements. And you're going to have to do it.
When we broke at the first hour and came back with those young women, and you said something that I believe as well, we have seen our last Republican president, as the party is today.
I think we have, because while, you know, and I disagree with you, the Republican Party is not dead. The Republican Party.
No, I said disarray.
Okay. The Republican Party controls 30 state houses, and because of redistricting and gerrymandering, the Republicans have the chance to hold the House from now on because most of their congressional members are in safe seats. Mm-hmm. So, but you look at where the electoral votes are, the Republicans just can't play at a presidential level in enough states that have most of the electoral votes. So I don't think we will see another Republican president in our lifetime.
I don't either.
But if Republicans continue to hold the House, which I think there's a very good chance of that, you're going to have divided government for a long, long time. And they need to learn to live together because something's got to be done about the deficit.
Why did Mitt Romney lose?
Well, first of all, he wasn't a very good candidate. I mean, most Americans couldn't identify with Mitt Romney. Most people couldn't identify with him. And plus, the Republicans had a platform that was so conservative that it kind of locked out many in the center. I mean, you look at our country, you've got a big population on the left and a big population on the right, mm-hmm. and you've got...
You're talking about geographically.
Geographically.
Coast, yeah,
yeah, and you've got independents in the middle, and mm-hmm. independents sway the election, and Republicans haven't offered up anything to make the independents vote for them. And so I don't think any Republican could have won, but Mitt Romney just did not identify, and voters didn't identify with Mitt Romney.
Colorado. I think the Republican Party in Colorado, we've talked so many times about the Dan Mays moment. We've talked about these things, and they come back with Joe Coors.
I'm not sure there is a Republican Party.
No, there isn't. No, there's a place. That's the place I did say it was dead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got two two elected statewide mm-hmm. office holders, the
treasurer,
the treasurer and the attorney general,
right. AG, right.
And the attorney general's not running for re-election, no. So that'll go Democratic. And mm-hmm. it's you know, when I came to Colorado, we had 2.7 million people living here, and now it's 5.3 mm-hmm. million, and most of that growth came from either California or in Hispanics. Mm-hmm. And you know, Hispanics just don't identify with the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Republican Party has played this immigration thing so hard, and whether they're right or whether they're wrong, if you are a Hispanic voter in Colorado, doing some of the drastic things that some Republicans would do on immigration affects your brothers, your cousins, your aunts and uncles, and Republicans got 27% of the vote, I think.
But is it because of the party, or is it because of the candidates they choose?
Well, it's both. It's the party has shifted so far right that that's the kind of candidates they pick, mm-hmm. and they pick candidates that aren't in the mainstream, and mm-hmm. and you see the growth of Colorado and where the growth has come from demographically. I think Colorado is probably a Democratic state from now on.
I do too. The last Republican, or like the, you know, the last Mohican, was Bill Owens.
Yeah, and he won by 7,000 votes.
Yeah,
I mean, the first time he squeaked by. It was barely, and then he won in the second term mm-hmm. because he didn't have any strong opposition. Yeah. But I mean, Bill Owens could identify with Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. He was very conservative, but he was very likable. Republicans keep putting people up that aren't very likable.
Yeah.
And voters tend to vote for people they like. I mean, Mitt Romney wasn't very likable.
He really wasn't.
And he's not very likable.
Yeah, I agree. You think about, when Colorado at one time was almost a lock for the Republicans.
You know, I believe it was 2006, was the first time in 56 years mm-hmm. that the Democrats held the House and the Senate in Colorado.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think it was 2004 when the Democrats took either the House or the Senate for the first time in 40 years. I mean, when I came here, this was a Republican state.
It was a red state.
It was absolutely Republican. Yeah. And it is a Democratic state today, and I don't think it's going back. I'm an independent. I've never registered for either party. In fact, the first Democrat I ever voted for president was Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. So I'm not
a
Democrat.
Think, yeah.
But you know when you go to vote, you have a choice of two candidates, and you pick the best candidate if you're thinking straight.
Romney even thought, as we have talked about, Romney thought, or his supporters thought, that he had it won. And I was on the air saying Obama's going to win, and I got beat up for saying that. I said marijuana's going to pass, Obama's going to win. And it was, marijuana's going to get beaten, and Romney walks it in. I said, no, you read the polls. Well, the polls are skewed. No, the polls aren't skewed. The polls were accurate.
You know, the Republicans and the Romney campaign just could not see the writing on the
really
wall.
They really believed it. Yeah.
They believed it. I mean, on election day, Romney still thought he was going to win.
Yes.
And he got clobbered in the Electoral College.
It was over quick.
I mean, I got a call from the president about a week before the election, and he said, I'm nervous about Colorado. And I said, Mr. President, don't be worried about Colorado. We got pot on the ballot.
Yeah.
And it's going to win big.
And I figured the same thing.
The people voting for pot aren't going to vote for Romney.
That's right.
I said, there's no way you'll lose Colorado. And he didn't lose Colorado. No. He won it handily. That's who this state is today. Mm-hmm. And you'll see a lot of Republicans trying to get back in the game mm-hmm. Statewide, but I don't see it happening.
Let me do this.
I don't think that's necessarily good. I just think that's,
but it is.
That's
just the way it is. I need to pause again. I'm going to come back. And I've said this, after this whole thing with the Coors brothers and, just one giant flop after another. And look down the bench in Colorado. If you could, and I can't, name the Republican. I mean, at least I think one of the things about, they have no bench. And if you looked on, at least for the Democrats, you know, I mean, I'm by no means a progressive. You see all kinds of people sitting on the bench. They got bats. They got their gloves. They're ready to play.
You know, the Republicans don't have a candidate to run against Udall in 14 yet.
Absolutely. There it is.
They have nobody to run.
A year away.
And they don't have anybody to run against him. And part of it is nobody wants to run against him because he's going to win big.
Yeah.
So, you know, why do it?
It's almost like picking, remember back in the day, what kamikaze pilot was going to run against Pat Schroeder.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to lift up off the aircraft carrier and go right in the ocean. And they never got that.
I mean, I find it sad that in 14 we won't have a spirited Senate race.
No, there won't be.
There just won't be. And that's not the way democracy was meant to be.
No. Let me sell something. 15 after the hour, 7:15, Dean Singleton, Peter Boyle's K-How Radio. We're in a balcony house, and it is remarkable waiting for everybody to start to show up again. Guys are walking through, lights are on. I was looking out the door and see the ski patrol being pulled by ski mobiles, and they go over and they're going up to start to check the mountain. And I think the lift's open at 9. We'll be skiing today. Wells Fargo NSCD, the 38th time the Wells Fargo Ski Cup in Winter Park to benefit the National Sports Center for the Disabled. Our website this morning is really good, khow.com. We have the link to Winter Park. You can watch everything on the mountain, the NSCD, and the pictures of these remarkable young women who were sitting with us, as well as Dean and everybody else. 16 after the hour, 6:30 KHW, Denver's talk station. I'm Peter Boyles. Hang on. Hi, it's Peter Boyles, and I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. Work with salaried loan officers. Get pre-approved in an hour. Close as fast as 8 days. 303-695-7000 online. AmericanFinancing.net. 21 after the hour. 7:21 on a Friday morning. Believe it or not, the first morning of March, 2013. K-How Radio, Dean Singleton, Peter Boyles. A lot of guys will be joining us. We're at the NSCD, the 38th Annual Wells Fargo Ski Cup in Winter Park to benefit the National Sports Center for the Disabled. There's about 5,000 people expected to come here, the longest-running professional ski race in the country. KHOW Weather Center weather in Denver, partly sunny today, 46 the high, 27 tonight. Saturday, sunny and 55. And on Sunday, it's going to be, again, sunny and 59 degrees. Coming up here, the snow and the icy streets still will be in here. And look at the traction and control of an all-wheel drive. And if you're looking at a Lexus or BMW, look again. They don't have it. Medved Cadillac has the entire all-wheel drive lineup. 13 of the world's best all-wheel drive luxury cars, crossovers, and sport utilities. No other luxury brand has that in many all-wheel drive models. Not even Audi includes the ATS, just named the North American Car of the Year. Just not another Cadillac snowbeater. It is the all-new groundbreaking design for the all-new kind of luxury sports sedan. Medved Cadillac, great selection of the iconic Cadillac Escalade, the CTSs, the stunning SRX crossovers, special incentives, lease offers, and low financing. Plus, every Cadillac in Medved comes with OnStar, 4 years, 50,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty. Medved's legendary service beat the ice and snow this year. Get to Medved Cadillac today. Medved Cadillac, I-70 Wheat Ridge, exit Kipling, exit Ward, but always exit the giant Medved Autoplex. The man who owns the Denver Post and so many other newspapers, Dean Singleton, is with us. Again, with this word that's called frenemy, and I don't even use that word, but I just think the guy hung the moon, and we argue constantly, and he's always shows up, and he's one of the guys, you know, a lot of these guys we're talking about on and off the air, they won't there come near. Do people always take your phone call?
Yeah.
Is there anybody that won't take your phone call?
Not that I know of. I mean,
yeah. In building this, you know, you bought your first newspaper, you're 20 years of age, and you've been in some knockdown, drag out political fights. What's the best one or the worst one?
I don't know. You know, the battles in Denver over the last 25 years on you know, the airport was
big
a
one.
Pretty big fight. Yeah. You know, Invesco Field wasn't easy. I mean, mm-hmm. It passed because the Broncos were 8-0 on election
right.
day.
Now John Elway built that stadium.
Yeah, he did.
Absolutely.
And you know, any time you go to the voters, and ask for more money, it's always a fight. But the voters of Colorado have always been there. They love their state. They want to make it nice, but it's still a fight.
In personal fights with individuals, politicians, elected officials, bureaucrats, company owners, whatever, what's been the biggest knockdown dragouts?
Oh, there's been a bunch, and I don't. Most of them are private, but
okay.
You know, I've had battles with politicians before. I had a serious battle with Governor Ritter over organized labor.
Yeah.
When he agreed by executive order for bargaining with state employees, we thought that wasn't a very good decision, and that was a tough battle. But
why do you think he threw the towel in?
Because he. Oh, I think he had a rough 4 years, and he had a rough 4 years, and I think it was tough on his family. I think he it's tough being governor. And
John Hickenlooper, I mean, whether you like him or hate him, seems to handle being a governor. Owens handled being a governor. He had a personal issue. I think Ritter did too. That's just my opinion.
But. You know, I think the governor didn't run for re-election primarily because he wanted to be home with his family.
That's
more.
Why he goes to Fort Collins every day to run a green machine up there. Come on, Dean, Christ. I'm not a fool. I mean, I'm spending more time with my family. You know, if you ever hear me say it, you know I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Governor Ritter had a tough 4 years, and I think
Richard Nixon had a tough 4 years and ran for re-election.
He did, and he had a tougher second four.
Yes, he did. I think Ritter got out because there was a huge nothing happens, and you and I have had this conversation. In a flash of fire, as Hoyt Axton said, this guy quits. I'll never to this day buy the story that was given. Even your political cartoon that day showed like a Rocky and Adrian leaving the ring. And that's not what happened.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
You know, you can speculate all day on various reasons. I don't think he had fun being governor. I don't think he enjoyed being governor.
Well, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, and I think the governor's office just didn't fit him personally. And after 4 years of it, he decided he didn't want to do it anymore.
Do you think there was a scandal, for instance, with Stephanie Villaforte, who could not go back to the FBI?
You know, there's certainly evidence of something.
When they went into the NCIC with Mitch Morrissey's office, they were lying. I'll say it to their face. They lied about what happened. Lynn Kimbrough lied, Morrissey, all these people in that office, Chuck Lepley. They were liars. I'm not asking you to comment. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't have any evidence to comment on. I mean, as you know, we had a serious battle with the governor over his personal cell phone records.
I'm sure he hit him. Guess who he was calling?
Yeah. Well, we had our speculation, and
damn right,
we went all the way to the
I know you did.
To the state Supreme Court, saying it's not right for a governor or any elected official to say you can't see my phone records because it's my personal phone. He didn't use a state phone. He used a personal phone
absolutely.
For everything,
yep.
And we believe that the voters. And had a right to see.
And that's one of the reasons he bailed.
And we fought him all the way to the Supreme Court, and we lost.
They all went.
But there's some reason he didn't want us to see the phone records.
But you remember that, I just called it Bill Ritter Unplugged, you know, where he shows up to give this little song and dance. All of his lifelong supporters, Lepley, Morrissey, Villaforte, all of them, none of them were there. None of them were there. When he did that under the dome, Jeannie Ritter stood over here. The lieutenant governor stood next to him, and he made this, it was this jive. And all of his lifelong supporters, not one of them was in the room. That tells you something.
You know, the difference is if we ask Governor Hickenlooper for his cell phone records,
be there in a heartbeat.
He'd just give it to us.
I agree with you.
And we spent close to $1 million in legal fees.
I know you did.
Trying to get the governors and the voters of Colorado had the right to see those. and he fought us till the very end, and we lost.
Yep.
And you know, Governor Hickenlooper would just turn him over.
Sure.
Ask him. I mean, he'll give you anything. He is perhaps the most transparent governor we've ever had.
Now, I'm not sure Roy Romer and Bill Owens would have turned their private funds over.
Bill Owens would have.
You think he would have?
Yeah.
You think Romer would have?
Probably.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, but both of those were very transparent governors. Yeah, I think they would have.
All right. I hope, and like I said, I want to believe you're right, because there's always friendly stories about both of those guys. I mean, you remember when, obviously, the Thornberry story broke. And you did a good job on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we broke it.
I
mean,
yeah, I know I you
mean,
did.
And
I mean, Patty Calhoun and Wesley did that story.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And we convinced the governor it's going to break nationally, so break it in your hometown newspaper.
Yeah.
And we did. I think Romer handled himself well on that one.
Got away with it.
And
not handled, he got away with it.
Well, he wouldn't have talked about it had it not leaked. So he didn't come right out and say, you know. But when it was going to leak anyway, he did, and he handled it fine. I mean,
you get in front of the story, right?
You know, any public official who says you can't have my phone records,
go rid of
it. You got to suspect something there.
And they all ran like they'd been scalded.
Yeah.
Hang on, we'll come back. I got a bunch of other stuff I want to ask you. I want to ask you about the Pat Sullivan story. 7:31:29 before the hour of 8. Dean Singleton, Peter Boyles, KHAL Radio, Gary D's here. Kenny Dana's got the con. Sheik sitting next to me. The website this morning has these pictures of these remarkable young women athletes up here at KHLW.com. Back after this. Hi, it's Peter Boyles, and I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. Work with salaried loan officers. Get pre-approved in an hour. Close as fast as 8 days. 303-695-7000 online. AmericanFinancing.net. 7:36, 24 before the hour. Peter Boyles, KHAL Radio. And Gary Diaz joined us, and Mike Matthews is here, Wells Fargo's Metro Denver Market President. Dean Singleton, the Denver Post, Peter Boyles on the air everywhere. We are here for the 38th annual Wells Fargo Ski Cup in Winter Park. And the Wells Fargo has been so special to everybody. I'm going to talk with Dean for a few more segments, and then he'll be with all of us as we really get into the nuts and bolts of why everyone's here and laugh and scratch. And probably one of the finest guys I've ever known, too, Gary D. Gary DeFrange is with us as well. As you all know, gun laws in Colorado and our country are headed towards a very rapid change. Mr. Singleton supports that. Taking the first step in obtaining your concealed carry permit is more important than ever. And strict laws, looking straight ahead, what are you going to do? Rich Wyatt and Gunsmoke, he's been through a lot out there, and go out and help the man out. He'll sign you up one of the many concealed carry classes, the first step to obtaining your CCW, and classes are filling up very rapidly, especially now. Take personal responsibility in protecting your family, your possessions, and your property. Embrace your second. Call Richard today, 303-456-4545, to sign up for your concealed carry classes. Shop, take your family, and train everyone. Gunsmoke, 44th and Kipling, 303-456-4545. Dean Singleton is here, and we were talking about the Bill Ritter scandals and what happened. The other one that was just unfathomable was Pat Sullivan. And you guys, I think, once again, I thought, you know, the Post, I thought, did a really, really great job when it came to Sullivan. Tell that story. And
well, I don't understand the outcome.
I don't either.
You know, I mean, I don't understand
how that got his 15 days.
I just don't understand it. But I probably don't know all the facts either.
Let me ask you a question, and this is just at first blush. If I'd have done something like that. But this guy was law enforcement for 35 years, 37 years.
Yeah.
What did he have on people? I mean, this guy, I understand that his brother's a very wealthy guy. His brother hired the attorneys that they had for Kobe Bryant up in Vail. And I made a prediction he'd never take the stand because he knows stuff.
And I
know you guys did that piece with what you saw him in. He was back in some restaurants, and I mean, almost immediately in a rental car.
Yeah, but I you know, the outcome surprised me, but you know, that's the way the system works.
We also spoke about, you know, those scandals about the prostitution in Denver, and then nothing happened out of that. Did the Denver Post really have in its possession the list of the clients of Denver players, Denver Sugar?
No. The Denver Post was all over that story. with numerous reporters, and I know you disagree with us, but we went with the facts that we could corroborate, and there weren't many there that we could have two credible sources on. I think you had to worry about the credibility of the people doing the talking.
The prostitutes.
Yeah.
The pimp.
Yeah. And you
they're the ones that named the names.
They were. And I can give you a list of clients that I can allege, and you could be on it, but you know, I could be lying. I mean,
but why would in other words, I know what happened at Channel 9 with Deborah Sherman. They had, and I think one of your representatives was there in that room when it happened, they put out full-face photos of you know, quote, African-American men. Those prostitutes picked out people. And you say that the prostitutes weren't... I mean, I know one of your guys actually was in the room when that happened.
Well, you had the prostitutes and the pimp. To us, that's one source. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, two people... talking in front of their boss. I mean, it's one. It's mm. two, it's
they
one,
weren't
it's
talking. One, it's, they were, it's one, one at a source. Time. No, one at a time they came
yeah,
in.
Yeah, but it's one source, and it did not meet the standards that we have to have. I mean,
why is a prostitute's word any less than anybody else?
You need somebody to back it up, and there was
they did.
Well, they were backing up each other. To us, it was one source.
But if there's a crime scene and there's five prostitutes at the crime scene and they all identify the shooter, are you trying to tell me that that's not good in court?
I'm not telling you what's good
okay,
in court.
Right.
I'm telling you that our credibility is extremely important, and having not making false accusations is important to us. We want to report the news, but we don't want to misreport the news. So... we went with the standards we've always had, and results
were always.
It actually came out in the Denver Post because
I know it did.
When Mayor-elect Hancock promised to release cell phone numbers and then mm-hmm. reneged, then the Post
to Bill Ritter.
The Post blew it out on page one.
Yeah, I know you
and,
did.
And they did produce them.
That ain't true.
They did.
No, what they did was you could go to Brownstein Farber's office and agree to certain conditions before you could go look at anything. And they'd had those records for days before. And they could have washed whatever they wanted. I'm serious, Dean. I
think,
don't buy it.
I
don't want to start because it's just not,
well,
it's
I mean,
not healthy.
I mean, we sent, I think at one point we had 12 people looking at phone records. And It met the standards that we set.
I got the record and the phone call and the log from the prostitutes where his name's on there. And I don't want to start this with you for other reasons. But I do want to come back to, you know, you say that, but what your paper did to Tom Tancredo with people that you never mentioned. You never named the alleged illegals
who
worked on his house.
But
they simply came and knocked on the Denver Post door and said, hey, we're here.
Both of those were interviewed separately, and they told the same story.
So were the prostitutes.
I don't think they were interviewed
yes,
by us separately.
Yeah. Deborah Sherman was my source. They brought him in one at a time into the room.
And
I think Mr. Pickett was there, I believe.
The story, this is years ago, but the Tancredo story, we went with based on the standards that we set.
Yeah, but Dean, you never named anybody. You never showed anybody. What we're supposed to believe, the two illegal aliens who worked in Tom's house, and the guy who did the work said they weren't here. They knocked on not your door, but the Post door. The Post ran the story.
The Post ran the story because it met the standards
But those standards don't meet the Ritter standards? I don't know what the hell those were. I'm sorry.
You know, we never got any phone records from Ritter.
Yeah, yeah.
We spent $1 million in legal fees
trying
to get them and went all the way to the Supreme Court and don't know what's in those records because we haven't seen them.
Yeah.
But we tried.
Yeah, but it's hard for me to believe he's going to stay and spend more time with his family. Lights out for Fort Collins with a job Pat Stryker sets him up for. I ain't buying it, boss. I'm sorry. All right, we need to switch this thing back around. 744.